but always does it. If you'll turn over this morning to Mark, we're going to look over, and I'm going to put my prayer request over here before I forget them. We'll look at Mark chapter 2 this morning. And again, when I studied this, I went back, and we've, years ago, I think we might have looked at it before or something similar. But again, I was thinking about the five of us, but not in this way. It's, Jesus heals the palsied man, or the man that's bedridden. And that didn't hit me till this morning that I looked at that. I looked at it for completely another reason. And I was looking at it more from the standpoint of when you get Jesus in the house, things happen. Things change. When the Holy Spirit starts moving during the service, things change. Things happen. That's right. You get Jesus in your life, you know what happens? Things change. Things happen. And I looked at it more from that standpoint of all five of us. When I say five of us, it's had this similar type cancer, similar type surgery. Well, I guess all of us really had the same type surgery. Some of the cancers are a little bit different. But really the same type. And I thought about when you get Jesus in the house. And that's one thing about too. When I say house, I think too about hospital. And I think about even down in MD Anderson there. Good hospital. But things happen when you get Jesus in the house. I tell people, I said, it's a good place to be. I'd recommend somebody to go there if you needed a second opinion or something. But now they're not miracle workers. That's only God. And I remind people of that. And Kim and I have said, the hearse pulls up at MD Anderson just like it does Houston Valley. There's people today, they'll pass away at MD Anderson just like Houston Valley or Johnson City Medical Center or any other hospital or even at home, wherever it be. And so it's not like they're doing something that somebody else is. They're keeping people, what I'm saying, they're not miracle workers. And I've said that before. So just... And so, in passing, many times, I guess, laying in a hospital bed or having treatments done or rolling up down the hall or trying to stand with that rope tied to that pole, I've thought about that. I think, what happens if you didn't have God in the house? What happens if you didn't know the Lord? What would happen if you weren't saved? How would you deal with these problems? How would you deal with this situation? Prayers can work wonders, and we've seen it work. I've seen it in my own life. You've seen it in me just standing here. That's the result of prayer. I think about down there, we stayed in these hospitality apartments. You get to stay there for 3 months, 90 days. That's it. It's not 91 days. It's not 90 days and a half. They let you stay 90 days, and that's it. And that's so they can cycle through other people. But in the process of staying there, the benefit is you get to talk to a lot of people. Well, not a lot, but, four or five, you get to sit around in like a little community center. You get to sit outside. And you get to talk. And what you find out, people from Idaho, Wyoming, wherever they're from, a lot of them are from the West. And they all think I'm from Alabama with accent. You must be from Alabama is what they'll say. I say, no, I'm from Tennessee. And I'll say, I'm from that end of the state. But I said, now, my wife, she's got the hillbilly accent, so let her talk. And we'll laugh. And every time they'll say, yeah, there is a little bit of difference. And I always just say, that's right, that's right. But anyway, what we find out, there's people there with different cancers. And we'll talk about the Lord while we're sitting there. And how good the Lord's been to us and what he's done for us. And I always brag on my church back here. And of course, they'll brag on theirs as well, or they'll get a care package from something. But as you go around, it really makes you stop and think. There's one gentleman there, and he's from Louisiana. He's not that far away, maybe 4 hours away from home, but still, that's a pretty good distance. Older fella, and he's got a cancer that's 1 in 20 people a year get diagnosed, and that's worldwide, not nationwide. And so, you start hearing that, and all of a sudden, your picture looks a lot better. You'll go around to somebody else, and there'll be, 1 in 1,000. Or they'll have a type of cancer that's been treated 7 times somewhere else, so they're there. And it gives you a chance sometimes just stop and reflect, or we stop and pray. They have prayer meeting at the end of every week on Friday night. Attendance is pretty good. And I stop and think sometimes. I say, you know, if Jesus stayed in our house all the time, and I know they do if you're saved. I'm not saying that. I'm saying, cause we got the Holy Spirit. If you've been saved, lives in you all the time. But what I'm saying is, that's pretty good attendance down there. You have a prayer meeting down there, and you can imagine people roll out and come to it pretty good. And the reason why, I think, is because where we're at. And I'll admit that, too. I'm right there. You know, we try to make it in a prayer meeting. But what about in our lives when things seem to be going good? How about attendance then? Then it's easy to lay out. Think about that. And I'm not getting on anybody here. I'm saying in general. And we've talked about that down there. And actually, the gentleman that taught one of the classes, he even said that. He says, well, yeah, we probably get as good attendance here as we do back at the church. And I thought, well, you know, a lot of that might be just where we're all at. In other words, we need Jesus in our house. In other words, we need answered prayer. And a lot of people at MD Anderson, the reason why we're there, we're looking for a miracle. And not that they're miracle workers, by no means. And don't take that away. I mean, God works the miracles. But what I'm saying is, if you end up there, you usually got something that you're looking for more expertise for. And that's why I gave the example of you go around the room and the people you talk to. We were there, and I'm getting to the lesson, but I have to get to their point here. When we got to one night, we were sitting there talking, and we were going around the room, and we was outside, actually. And a man spoke up. Somebody asked him, said, where are you from? He said, Bristol. This was just 3 or 4 weeks ago. Of course, my head popped up. You know, I was just sitting there listening. I said, Bristol. And he said, yeah, and it was his wife he was down there with. And I said, boy, that's close by. And he said, where are you from? I said, Kingsport. He got a big grin on his face, you know. And he helped Kim kind of get some things loaded up and get us home. And they're there actually through next week. But again, the reason why his wife's there is had some complications and had some things come up that they felt like she needed another opinion, and that's why she went. And she attends church up in Bristol. I'm not getting into that, but what I'm saying is we're usually there looking for something more than what we could get back home. But what we hope and pray, and as we talk with each other, is we know where our home is, is in heaven, if we don't make it. And I ask you this morning, and everybody, search your heart. As it says, search the Scripture. Also search your heart, as David asked, you know, to be examined. That you may examine yourself to be sure that you're saved. And we talk about that among ourselves. And, you know, when you, it goes back to that attending that prayer meeting. You know, when you get down to where your situation changes in your life, what do they say that when the status quo changes, then all of a sudden things become important that weren't important before. And that's what led me to this scripture this morning. So let me get to that. And as you notice, as we read this, and I think it was this way on purpose, and that's Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. And I'm going to try to stand the entire time. That way, if that therapist ever comes here, you ever visit me and you see her, you can brag on me. And because she has said I should be able to stand an hour at least. And so I will do that. Try my best with the help of the Lord. But you'll notice there's one pronoun in this entire section I'm going to read. And that pronoun is Jesus. And I think, as in all Scripture, that's for us to be focused on Jesus. And I think in these 12 verses, that's the purpose of that. And I guess that's why, as we look through that, and again, it's a man that's palsy, he's in bed, he's bedridden. And again, I didn't choose that for any reason, what's happened recently in my life, or anybody I've met down at MD Anderson, or like I said, any of us five. I call us the Fab Five, but any of us. I didn't think of that this morning. I looked at this again, because when you get Jesus in the house, amazing things begin to happen. And I think that's when these 12 verses in Mark, Jesus is the only pronoun. In other words, he's the focus. It's not going to be the men. It's not the man necessarily in the bed. It's not the crowd. And we're going to take some things from those. But it's all about Jesus. So let's look this morning. And that's what we're all about here this morning, right? Amen. To be here. That's right. And again, I like it when he starts there. It says, and again. That means we're continuing. As you know, if you look in the previous chapter, he cleansed a leper. And I like that when he says, and again. And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. In other words, heard that he was in the house. That's like when we spread revival and somebody's coming, you like to hear preach. We like to get that word out and somebody hears it and says, well, I'm going to go hear whoever it may be. Billy Mitchell, of course, is coming here at the end of or middle of August. I was going to say the end of this month. We're not quite in August yet. And there's other pastors and preachers that go around sometimes and visit churches and help in revivals. We always try to get the word out and listen. So that's what happened here, because he'd been through before and they said he's came back through. And that's going to be important in just a second as we look too. It's because he didn't always pass the same way twice. And that goes back to examining yourselves. And I'm not saying anybody here is lost this morning. I'm just saying in general, to something we need to do. And do that daily to be sure, that blessed assurance. Not that you have any doubt, but stay in the Word, stay in prayer and study. Because I'm telling you, as life goes on, you know, it may not necessarily be at MD Anderson or Houston Valley, but there will be trouble your way. It may not be you, maybe another family member. And so things happen when Jesus is in the house. Let's continue on and look, and that's what they know. And in other words, heard that he was in the house, and straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. The place was packed, full. And he preached the word unto them, and they come into him bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. In other words, four men carried him. You guys know the parable. And they could not come nigh unto him for the press. They uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk. In other words, he's asking, which one of these is easier? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. In other words, we've never seen anything like this before. This was a miracle. This is something that I mean, people were amazed. They were astonished at what they saw. And it was a huge, huge crowd. But as we go back and we begin to look here in chapter 2, what happens when you get Jesus in the house? And I've already mentioned there in verse number 1, Jesus, he passed through Capernaum again. And he passed through before, but if you go back and you look, I think he only passed through Capernaum maybe 2 times. But as far as this palsy man and those, of course, those 4 men bringing him in, that was the 2nd time through. And they were going to do whatever they had to do to get to him, to get the palsy man or their friend or whoever it was, the man that was sick, to him. And that's something you have to remember and have to keep in mind. And again, as you're witnessing to family, friends, or even if you're lost here this morning or somebody's visiting during the service today, and you wonder sometimes, you say, well, we pause and a lot after the service or preaching and allowing time for someone to, if the Holy Spirit's dealing with them. And you do that because, you know what? Jesus may not pass their way again. And that's why we wait. That's why we're patient. That's why in visitation this coming Saturday, sometimes somebody might spend a little more time in one house versus another. Because, you know what? The Holy Spirit or Jesus may not pass their way again. And that's something that we know in this world, it's a finality to that. You're either going to spend your eternity in heaven or hell. There's no in between. I saw something the other day on TV. And the kids had something on as I passed through, and they used the word purgatory. Of course, that made my head spin around. I thought, what are they watching? And I remember the comment came back something, oh, there's some things worse than purgatory. And I was like, oh, now wait a second, what are y'all watching? Had to wait and see. Of course, we ended up changing it because it just didn't, you know, the explanation came really slow. We're watching, you know, there was really no explanation of why they were watching what they were watching. And they were talking really fast. That's why I said, you know, you couldn't make head or tails of what they're saying. So I knew then we just need to change it to something else. And so keep that in mind. And if you look here, also a man was confined to the bed. Had to have four men go get him, as you see in verse number 3. He's born of four. But you know what? And I guess I thought about visitation this Saturday as much as anything when I looked to here as he went to get this man. And as we go out and visit and we give flyers out, you know, to invite people to the revival, invite people to church. You know what? They didn't care really what he looked like. They didn't care who he was. They didn't care if he was in rags. They didn't care. You know, we have to wear them old gowns in the hospital. Boy, I dread that. Another week, what is it, August 8th or 9th, I'll go into the hospital. And as soon as I go in, they'll look at me and they'll say, you know, I've been there enough. They'll say, Mr. Odell, you know the drill. And they'll hand me that old gown. And they have a policy there. They have to do a full body check. So they'll bring another nurse in, and they do a full body. Pete Pastor was there one day when they had to do that full body check. And you got that old gown on, and that's it. They go head to toe looking for any type of ulcers or sores or anything that you've got, you know. And but you wear that gown the entire time you've got it on. But you know what? When they come in to give him a medicine or a chemo or whatever it is, if a doctor's come see me, they don't care that I've got that gown on. You know. They could care. They're there to treat me. And I say that to say here this. And when you're in a hospital, same way. That's just part of, I guess, the attire that you have to wear when you're there. But think about this way. When they went to get this man, they didn't care what he had on. Or if he was nude in the bed or just had a towel over him. They knew they had a responsibility or a duty, and they knew he was palsied, and they knew a man that could heal. And so you think about that this morning. As far as I know Pastor was telling me about a gentleman that he'd stopped and trying to be a witness to that's been walking to work every day. I don't know all the details, but he walks a long way to a job, and he walks a long way back to get groceries, and he walks a long way back. In other words, if it's 3 or 4 miles, he'll walk it. He's not necessarily seeking handouts. But when Pastor stops and talks to him, he didn't care what he had on or what he looked like. And so as we go out and visit this Saturday, we shouldn't care about what they've got on or what it looked like or if the house looks like it's in shambles, or if we're driving an old car, whatever it may be. Same as these four men went to get that man. They didn't care. They just knew that the healer, the person that could heal him, was in the house. See, things happen when you get Jesus in the house. You think about the own. You think about these houses we're describing that may have alcohol flowing every night, and no telling what all's on television, and drugs in there. You know what? You get Jesus in that house, and all that'll change. That's right. You've seen, and I know I've heard y'all, and I've seen it myself, but now I'm not saying you're a lot older than me, some of you, but some of you are a little bit older than me, and I've heard y'all tell more stories, I guess, than I've got, or true life instances, not stories in a way of this made up, but I'm talking about life instances where you'd say, you remember old so-and-so was an alcoholic. Well, he got saved, that place got straightened right up. I know my father-in-law tells me about his neighbor up over the hill there. He said that was the junkiest place, he said, for 30 years. He said he met a woman, started taking him to church, and he went down there and got saved. And he said, came back, and he said within 3 or 4 days, he said, cleaned his house and neighborhood. He said not only did he get his heart cleaned up, he got his life cleaned up. You know what happened? He got Jesus in the house. He and Bud had had, and that's Kim's dad, had been at, butted heads a few times over a few things. Well, you know what? Before that week was out, he come over and said, you've asked me about such and such several times. And of course, Bud didn't know what to think. You know, he noticed he'd cleaned up over there, and he thought, well, maybe the county had come in and told him, you got to do such and such. But it wasn't the county that got in him. It was the Holy Spirit that got in him. And he come over to him. He said, you know what? I think we can come to agreement on that. It's a property line thing, some trees and different things. He said, you just go ahead and do whatever you want to do. Then you just give me half the bill. And you know what? Cleaned him up. And, you know, Bud went back in the house, shut the door. He said, you know, I didn't know where I needed to lock it or not. He said, I know what to think. So I've been dealing with him for years. And he said, and I ask him now every night, he said, how's your neighbor over there doing? He said, ain't changed a bit. He said, he's still right on track. Hey, I said, he must have got the real stuff. And he said, he must have. That's been several years. Well, I'd say 4 or 5 years now. But he got Jesus in the house. And you know what? I don't know. He and that lady are married, but she evidently didn't care what he looked like. She took him to church. And that was one requirement she had. If you're going to stay with me or go with me, marry me, that's where we're going. So when you get Jesus in the house. So I'll move on past that. These men went with faith, and that's what we'll have to do on Saturday for those who go out. You'll have to go with faith. You'll have to go with no doubt. That's right. I remember a pastor there, I was going in for that surgery. And, I remember the anesthesiologist come in. She was real funny. She's kind of got a little bit of a southern accent too, but she's not from the south, but I can't remember exactly where she was from, but, you know, she was kind of, she wasn't your just normal anesthesiologist that you run across sometimes. She was more of a cut up. I remember telling her, I said, I'm a little anxious. And she kind of looked around at somebody and said, he's anxious. Sent somebody out the door, you know. Kind of like John does during the play, you know, when he's doing Harriet. Go tell me more about this, you know. That's kind of how she did. He's anxious. In other words, I thought, wow, where's that boy running to? Of course, he came back later and had a little syringe, you know. And I got tickled about it. Of course, they didn't give it to me. But anyway, what I'm saying is I had to have confidence. I had faith in the Lord to get me through it. If he didn't, I knew where my home would be. But I had to have confidence in the surgeon. If not, I wouldn't went in and had the surgery. In other words, I had to have no doubt that he could handle any situation. And that's what I went in with, is that my surgeon could handle it. So my father-in-law said in the military, he said, I didn't like flying, but he said I had the confidence that the pilot could handle it. He wanted to get home just like I did. And so I had confidence in him. So what I'm saying is these men, when they took that man, they didn't care what he looked like. They didn't care what his house looked like, where he was from, any of his problems. They didn't care about his family history. They didn't care if he had a job or not. But they also had faith that the man they were going to see, the man Christ Jesus, could heal him. And they had no doubt. They were going to do whatever they had to do to get in. And you think about that in your life. There's some things, and that's why I use that surgeon. It's a little different, I guess, analogy. But what I'm saying is, when I told him, roll me in there, I'm ready to go. I had to go in with no doubt. Not about my salvation, but that as well. But what I mean is I had to have full confidence in them. I had to say, no doubt, they can take care of what they need to. So think about that this morning, too. When Jesus gets in the house, to get him in the house, there's got to be faith and no doubt. Let's go on. As we go on, not much more. I'll look at my time. I got a few more minutes left. As they got to the house, they found out there was no way in, or that's what they thought. In other words, they didn't get discouraged. And we're so easily discouraged this morning. You pull up and you start to knock on the front door. Now, I've done this, knock on the front door. Well, nobody come to the front door. Well, Brother Brian, looks like they used the side door. No, looks like to me they used the front door here. Even though 3 or 4 papers are piled up there and things are stuck already in the door. You go around to the side, and that's where the doormat is, and that's where 6 pairs of shoes are. But no, they don't use the side door, they use the front door. In other words, not easily discouraged. In other words, you say, well, you know what? Let me go around here to the side door, see if I can get somebody to answer it. Or sometimes it's you go visit somebody, and they seem like they're busy at the time, and they don't have time to talk. Well, maybe go back by another time or invite them to church another time. I was talking to a lady yesterday, said it was a colleague she works with, and she said, you know, I've invited him to church a couple times. He always says, no, I don't want to go, or no, if I go, he heard this before. She said, he said this, says, well, if so-and-so goes to church every Sunday, and if they can get in, then I'm pretty sure I'll get in. And she just kind of dropped her head and said, you know, you don't need to be looking at other people. She said, well, the way they act, said, they get out and do the same things I do, so what's the difference? And I have Sunday morning to kind of recover, is the exact words you use, and they still get up and take their Tylenol and go to church. What's the difference? That's what he asked. So you think about that sometimes. She said, you know what? I'm going to ask him again. I'm not going to get discouraged. It appears there's no way into his life. And what he means is getting through to him. But she's not going to give up because she knows God can. She said, I want you to pray for him. She said, I'm going to continue to pray for him as well. Because you know what? She's trying to make a way. She's trying to set an example. And as we've heard before from Brother Steve and Pastor Vinoy, you know what? You may not be the one to invite them to church and to come, but it might be the next person that knocks on the door. Maybe the next church is visiting. Maybe somebody at work is a witness to them. So what they saw is as they went here, you'll look and see, as you read down through there, they begin to look and said, it's so crowded, you know, and I'm paraphrasing, there's no way in. You're not going to get them in. But they decided to make a way. And, you know, I think about this too. You know, Brother John, when he goes and does a job, he takes his tools with him. And he kind of knows what he's going to need based on the construction job he's going to have. You know, these men, it doesn't say in here, anywhere in here, what kind of tools they had with them. But they went prepared. That's another thing. We got to go prepared. Because they began to tear the roof off as they began to look through there so they could lower him down. But it doesn't say what they had. They had to have something to get through, not just the bare hands. So I can picture these four, and that's just me. You may not have the same thoughts. They went to get him. They didn't really care what he looked like. Again, they went with faith. They didn't get discouraged. At least one of them or all four of them said, you know, we may need some tools. You know, I don't know why I'm thinking that, but I'm going to grab my tools before we get out of here. And where did they get the rope at? You know, the Lord, they brought that with them. And that's what I see. In other words, they had their tools with them. They took their equipment with them. Of course, we think about our Bible as being the tool we take with us. That's right. And so you got to have the tools for the job as well. Let me hurry on here. I'm about out of time. And as I looked there, and this kind of what struck out to me this morning, didn't think about that. You know, it ended up being five people. Five people. The man in palsy, the man in sick. And the four went and got him. Do you know five is the number of grace? That's right. I didn't think about that this morning. Five is the number of grace. And you know what? It's God's grace that allowed those men to get him in there. And it's God's grace this man was healed. And the way we read it there, it said, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, go thy way into thy house. And immediately arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all. And so much they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. A miracle happened before their eyes. And as we see here, as we go out, not only this Saturday, but I say when you go home today after church, as you run into family members, people you work with, and wherever you may be, there's always going to be critics. And I wind up with that. As you read that again, if you happen to read that this afternoon or this week, most people in here that you read this did not mind. They were astonished. They probably looked at each other, can you believe what's just happened? But there's always some critics. You look in here, always some, always confrontation. In other words, the devil's always going to try to have his foot in the door. Always going to try to keep you squeezed out. Always going to say, well, now, you know, maybe even to you or us, well, you shouldn't have said that. You're going to embarrass yourself. No, now is the wrong time to say that. You don't know what's working on their end. But I tell you, usually if God's working on your end to see somebody or be a witness to them, he's working on their end as well. Think about that. And, you know, what does Billy Mitchell always say? He said it comes down to where the person's got to remember that they're the sinner and Christ Jesus is the Savior. That's right. That sounds so simple, but it's one of the hardest things sometimes to get people to see and to know. You think about that. It is. But anyway, as we look there, the man picked up his bed and he carried it out. Amen. Walked out the door. Astonished them. And it never says what happens to those four men. Did they just shake their hand, pat their back? You know what I think they did? I think they went out and tried to look for somebody else. I think they probably said, well, who else we got on our list? Where else can we go today? Maybe not been a positive man, but said, you know, it doesn't say how much more Jesus preached. He might have stayed there another 2 or 3 hours, another day. They might have said, well, you know what? We got time. We can get down the road here and get so-and-so. Try to get them in. Thank you for your attention this morning. I appreciate it. I thank the Lord for the lesson he gave us. Hope you can get something from that. Maybe study later this week. And again, it was a blessing to be here. Thank you.